Hold on tight. This is the Generic Live Show.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. That's right, it's a Sunday. You're with Dale Campbell. It's a pleasure to be here, as per always. It's great to be here. And you know what's even better? Is that this week, the Generic Live Show turns 3. That's right, the Generic Live Show is celebrating 3 years in business. Woo! No, 3 years in podcasting? 3 years in business. I don't know which one works better, but there you go. 3 whole years of this show in its different forms and incarnation and hiatuses and But we have found our rhythm, apart from last week. I do apologize for the fact that there was no show last week, but we are up and moving here on a Sunday. Thanks for joining us. It's a pleasure to be here. Now, before we move on, I want to mention this. I haven't mentioned this so far. We had a jam-packed first hour of the program, and the second hour is not any lesser on. I want to mention that legendary musician Chuck Berry died at the age of 90, police have confirmed. Tributes are pouring in for the musical icon. He passed away at his home near St. Louis, Missouri on Saturday. A statement from St. Charles County Police confirmed officers responded to a medical emergency around 12:40. A statement read, inside the home, first responders observed an unresponsive man and immediately administered life-saving techniques. Unfortunately, the 90-year-old man could not be revived and was pronounced deceased at 1:26 p.m. The St. Charles County Police Department sadly confirms the death of Charles Edward Anderson Berry Sr., better known as the legendary musician Chuck Berry. Quote, the family requests privacy during this time of bereavement. American news reporter Megan Bellos tweeted, St. Charles County PD confirmed that legendary musician Chuck Berry has died. The American guitarist, singer, and songwriter was one of the pioneers of rock and roll music. Berry was well known for hit songs including Maybelline, Roll Over, Beethoven, Rock and Roll Music, and Johnny B. Good. Yeah, actually, can we... I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I really want to hear a bit of this. I quite enjoy this. I'm just going to play a little bit of this because I can. Just because, you know, it's my show and I can do what I want to. See, who doesn't like this? So, yeah, who doesn't like that? See, who doesn't like that, and who doesn't, you know, like that? But here is CNN with their tribute to Chuck Berry.
Chuck Berry was one of the pioneers of rock and roll. His powerful guitar licks fueled hit songs such as Johnny B. Good, Maybelline, and Roll Over Beethoven. During the 50s and 60s, Berry's music signaled a new era in rock and roll. The singer's ability to seamlessly blend R&B and rock music made a strong impact on the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, to name a few.
It's very difficult for me to talk about Chuck Berry because I lifted every lick he ever played.
Berry experienced a career resurgence in the mid-80s and 90s. His music re-entered pop culture in films such as Back to the Future and Pulp Fiction. In 1984, Berry received the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award, and a year later, he became the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's first inductee.
Mr. Berry.
Dynamite. Thank you.
On the heels of his induction, the Stones' Keith Richards invited a roster of great musicians to celebrate the rock icon's 60th birthday. Then in 1987, Berry was humbled to receive a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
I cannot describe, I don't have the voice, I don't have the wind, I don't,
have the spirit, but believe me, I'll remember it the rest of my life.
The married father of four repeatedly had trouble with the law. He was behind bars three times for charges ranging from attempted robbery to tax evasion and convicted of transporting an underaged girl across state lines. However, Barry's career was not derailed.
That margin of glory is not too high. That margin of defeat then is also not too low. So I live right through it without any pain.
Barry received the Kennedy Center Honor Award in 2000 and continued to perform well into his 80s. His remarkable contributions to music will forever remain a part of rock and roll history.
That is CNN paying tribute to Chuck Berry, who has passed away at the age of 90. I don't know, it's weird. I've always loved Chuck Berry, and I don't know if it's just because of just Johnny B. Goode and Maybelline itself. It's just, I don't know, those two songs have just really hit me. Strange. No, not strange, they're good songs, but it's strange that I've attached to Chuck Berry for some reason. It's not someone who I'd normally get attached to apart from that. So there you go. Meanwhile, we missed International Women's Day last week because we were out, and here we are of two minds of this town. No, we're not going to be talking about the strikes that happened on International Women's Day of women getting up and walking out of jobs. Though, a bit late for that now. We've got another story here for you, but before that, wanna bring attention to a particular bit of audio about Labour highlighting penalty rates on reflecting penalty rates on International Women's Day, because we couldn't have International Women's Day without, you know, making penalty choices about it. We can't have one without the other, yeah? Ads and videos. There you go, so there you go. Waiting for that to load. But we had to bring that into it. So here we go.
Today on International Women's Day are out
there. Time is everything, Peter.
Well, and I'm sure they have had this one marked in the diary since the Fair Work decision was handed down. They're saying that this is particularly bad for women, and particularly bad for the gender pay gap between men and women.
Yeah, look, and I think that's really interesting. It shows that maybe Mr. Shorten hasn't actually read Justice Ross's decision, because that was explicitly examined by the Fair Work Commission in coming to their decision, explicitly. And they examined all the evidence, and on the evidence came to the ruling that this would not impact the gender balance, pay balance gap. So that was an explicit finding of the Fair Work Commission. You know, again, I got to go to the umpire and accept their decision. In terms of affecting how women work, I mentioned earlier women who may find working on weekends easier, given that they may have a partner at home to look after the children, and also small business women, predominantly, you know, being able to take time off and actually employ someone to cover their own time in their own business.
What about
That is a lady talking about women in the workplace, so that's exciting. But a story that got me scratching my head today was Coles, the supermarket chain that we all know, is under attack after allegations of appalling, working conditions after a management asked staff to work for pizza instead of money on a Sunday, with employees claiming the directive would have been a result of pressure from executive level at the supermarket giant. A report by ABC Radio Perth discovered that a manager of Western Australian Coles store posted a notice to staff asking them for work on a Sunday stock take, not for extra income or time in lieu, but for pizza. The strange proposal came after 3 weeks. Came 3 weeks after many part-time employees around the nation had lost through penalty cut rates. Important to note here that members of Coles and being a person that's also employed in retail, I know this too, because we're not affected by the penalty rate cuts at all. So that's not an argument in this case, but this is just dumb. So after the notice was posted, several staff members contacted the WA branch of Shop Distributive and Allied Workers Association, the union for workers in retail, fast food, and warehousing, to complain. Does it say the note? It does. It does say the note a little bit later on. So we'll get to the note in just a bit. SDA State Secretary Peter O'Keefe told Hutchinson Program the proposal was unacceptable. Told ABC it was unacceptable. Obviously, this manager had decided for reasons of his own to request people come to work unpaid, he said. As soon as he put the notice on the notice board, SDA members started ringing us, and we immediately got in contact with the manager and told him this was unacceptable and wouldn't be allowed. This is true. Coles has backed away from it. That's not a plus. However, this is where it gets spicy. However, in a letter to the radio show, an employee of Coles, only named as Nick, not his real name, Nick, said the proposal was emblematic of pressure on workers at the supermarket giant. See. It's weird, but the manager involved sounds like he cares about the business. I can't imagine he was going to get any financial benefit out of it. It's not right, and I wouldn't be harsh on that person. I may have been a night employee. This person's been a night employee for Coles for 4 years. The motive of this manager would have come from pressure from regional managers to have the work completed by a certain time frame. Hours have been cut dramatically at each store's workloads increase, as you do. Having said that, the pressure from above does not result in an increase in hours to be passed on to the store to complete the work. The manager would have been pressured and may have felt this was only measured to ask staff for free work. The overhaul of work within stores also happens frequently when big bosses from, quote, over east plan a visit. Oh, wow. Okay. Can this article get any more Western Australia? If only they did unannounced visits, they would realise how badly each store is run. So, in short, it does come from above. Well, I could have told you that if you paid me. And Coles did mention a statement, and they're backing away from it because, of course, they are. Hours and wages are getting cut, and more are expected to do with less. Yeah, well, there you go. But here is the note itself. Dear team, I've got a personal request for you all. As you can see, we are having enormous amount of stock out the back in the storeroom. I'm asking team members to give me 4 hours of free labour. Yes, it's a big ask, and I wouldn't be requesting this unless it was absolutely necessary. On Sunday the 19th, hey, today, I plan to work through 6 pallets of stock as well as 78 roll cages of stock out the back. I plan to kick off in the evening at 5:30 p.m. and work through till 9:30 p.m. Pizza will be plentiful at 9:30 p.m. Plentiful. Like pizza for days. We have 65 team members. It would be wonderful if everyone could be involved, as this would make the job so much easier and may allow us to leave earlier, which would be fantastic. The excess stock does affect everyone in the store, and none more so than the person who has to do a gap scan every day under these really difficult conditions. Therefore, Therefore, I hope you can give of your time That's what it says. To help the store get on top of this once and for all, I would really appreciate you coming to help. So, yeah, this is not that great, you know, but, you know, it happens. You know, it unfortunately, this sort of thing does happen, but, you know, it is unfortunate, but, you know, the boss was trying to do the right thing, and he caught in the middle. Clowns to the left and Joker's to the right. Here he is, stuck in the middle with you. As we continue... as we continue on the Generic Live Show, well, we already have a 5-day working week, but what if I told you, is it possible to have a 4-day working week? What? TGIF? No. Well, hang on, if it's not TGIF, it'd be what? TGIT? That doesn't have the same ring to it. TGIT. TGIT? Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday with Dale Campbell. It's a pleasure to be here, as per always. It's 10:20.
You know, looking after family is what's most important. Sign up to Apia Funeral Insurance and you could receive 10% cash back for every 3 years you continue to hold the policy. Apia, because we know, you know.
Hold on tight. This is the Generic Live Show.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us. It's a pleasure to be here, as per always. Now, we have a 5-day working week, but how about we change that to maybe a 4-day working week? How does that work? Well, the Green Leader has it all for us. Here, have a listen.
So how about we start a conversation about the future of work in this country? And how about we question the entrenched political consensus that a good life can only come from more work, from working harder? How about we have a discussion that includes the things we really value in life? We rightly talk about the 16% of people who want to work more hours. But what we don't hear about is from the more than 1 in 4 Australians who say, we want to work less. A 4-day working week or a 6-hour day, it might actually make us happier. Australians work harder than any other developed economy on earth. We work on average, if you've got a full-time job, 44 hours a week. If 1 in 4 people are saying, we're working more hours than we'd like, and we've got a problem with unemployment and underemployment, then maybe we can do something to address that.
Mm. How do people who are younger than I am, who cannot see themselves saving enough money to get a mortgage, begin on that process? Is it a matter of having the housing changes in first before you can have the less working hours? Do you need to have the universal basic income issue there as well? How do those pieces of the puzzle come together so that we can actually move forward and achieve that?
We've got this completely back to front. So at the very least, let's look at what a guaranteed adequate income for people who need support, what does that look like? What does a modern 21st century social security system look like? And universal basic income needs to be part of it. And I have to say, I've been overwhelmed this morning with the incredibly positive response from people. People saying, yeah, actually, you know what? We'd like to scale things back. We'd like to do things differently.
That was Green's leader, Richard Del Nete's rendition of let's work less and let's reconstruct the social security system. That's his rendition of that. That comes from the 2017 album with the National Press Club Greatest Hits. Okay, I'm being sarcastic, but it's true though. I'm being a little bit skeptical here. So, meet Trevor. Hello, Trevor. Trevor is a 55-year-old man, assumably, and has been working as a sales executive for a major retail company in his career that has lasted more than 30 years. Okay. Trevor likes his job. He wants to keep working, but now he wants to cut back on his hours. Maybe move from a 5-day week to a 4-day week. But Trevor is looking forward to the birth of his first grandchild and thinks of having Fridays off could be the way to go. He no longer leads a full-time wage and he would like to spend more time with his wife. Maybe help out when the little one arrives. And if he's lucky, he might fit an extra round of afternoon golf in. Because it's all about the golf when you don't work on a Friday, right? TGIF. But something is stopping Trevor from asking his boss if he can reduce his hours. The fear that it'll be taken as a sign that he doesn't want to... he wants to step back, but he's ready to retire. Which he isn't. It's a story that Rebecca Huntley is too familiar with. I have so many men say, I feel like I'm asking for more work because I want to put a target on my back. There is still a very, very conservative attitude to work in Australia. It's the conservative attitude to work that values long days sitting at a desk in an office that was on Green Leader's mind, Richard Darlanto's, when he called for a rethink on the working week. See, I don't know whether I like it or not, because there are some, you do like that reporter mentioned in that clip. You do need that kind of, you know, that wage, and I don't think you can get that wage from just being in a 4-day week. You've got mortgages you pay, you've got bills you need to pay, you need to be there to earn money so you can live, basically. You do work to live, and you live to work in some cases, but 9 times out of 10 you work to live. So there you go. I like the concept, it just doesn't execute as well, so sorry. As we continue here on the Generic Life Show for a Sunday, well, one last time, we're going to break down the Trump Care 2017. You've heard a lot about it. We've got noises from people, and we're going to break it down in a more fun second hour kind of way. It's the second hour of the program. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Life Show for a Sunday with Dale Campbell. We are in our third year of broadcasting as of this week. Happy birthday to the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on a Sunday. It's 10:31. Finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday with Dale Campbell. It's a pleasure to be here, as per always. It's hour two of the program, and here we go. In with it here. So, now, there's something you've been hearing in the news a lot lately. Now, we've covered this over the 2 hours of the show, which, for new listeners of the show, we do tend to do that. We do a two-hour broadcast. But if there's something that is big and it's making news and there's a lot of sources and there's a lot of news about it and a lot to say, or an opinion piece that you want to break down bit by bit, there's a lot to say about the repealment, that's not really the word, but it's the word I'm using, the repealment and the replacement of the Affordable Care Act, otherwise commonly referred to as Obamacare. There's a lot of hubbub in the news about that. And I said this in the first hour of the program. You might hear about it, but you don't know whether you want to believe all that you hear. Now, in the first hour, we kind of broke it down in kind of a nuts and bolts and sort of AM talkback kind of way. Whereas this, we're kind of going to be hearing from sort of another side of it, more so. Well, not necessarily another side of it, but another perspective of how to do it. Because I think the first hour and the second hour program is a little bit different from each other. So here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna break it down. We've got noises, I like to call noises from people about what's gonna happen. So I'm just gonna say it to you how this is. But this article from the Washington Post is a little bit older. So some of this information may be a little bit out of touch. But here's how it breaks down the start of repealing and replacing the Obamacare. First up, we've got.
We're starting today.
First of all, wow, let me talk. First of all, we've got House Speaker Paul Ryan, Republican from Wisconsin, and Vice President, then at the time, Vice President-elect Mike Pence, addressing reporters after the discussion of the first discussion of repealing the Affordable Care Act.
On our work to deliver relief to Americans struggling under Obamacare. We must remember this. This law has failed. Americans are struggling.
Oop, I don't know what's happening. I don't know why. Why is this happening? We've got technical issues here. Okay, so
We're starting today on our work to deliver relief to Americans struggling under Obamacare. We must remember this. This law has failed. Americans are struggling.
All right, we got technical difficulties there with Speaker Paul Ryan. So here is Press Secretary Josh Earnest with former Press Secretary Josh Earnest discussing the repealing of the Obamacare. It's kind of the Democratic side of things.
Repealing the Affordable Care Act would have devastating consequences for people all across the country. And it's not something that Democrats support, nor should they. And we're seeing.
Oh gosh, we're getting technical issues all across the board here. Fantastic. All right, let's try this whole thing again, shall we? Here's former Press Secretary Josh Earnest providing the Democratic side of things about the repealing and the replacement of the Affordable Care Act. Hopefully. We'll see.
Repealing the Affordable Care Act would have devastating consequences for people all across the country. And it's not something that Democrats support, nor should they. And we're seeing that a lot of Republicans are queasy about supporting it. And they should be. Because of the obvious, tangible, direct consequences that will have on the lives of millions of people across the country. 22 million people are going to lose their health insurance if the Affordable Care Act is repealed. The time has now come for them to consider how they're going to make good on that promise. Republicans are in charge of the House of Representatives. Republicans are in charge of the United States Senate. And starting on January 20th, Republicans will be in charge of the White House. And they're going to have to decide how they make good on that promise to repeal and replace.
That is former Press Secretary Josh Earnest providing the Democratic sort of side of things. And that, yes, Josh Earnest is the former Press Secretary, but that is definitely, from what I'm hearing from around the place, definitely the the democratic perspective of we need this to stay in place kind of thing. Here is the Republican side. I really want to get this side of things in here to make my next point. So hopefully this one plays so far.
On our work to deliver relief to Americans struggling under Obamacare. We must remember this. This law has failed. Americans are struggling. Then once we repeal this law, we need to make sure that there is a stable transition to a truly patient-centered system. We want every American to have access to quality, affordable health coverage. We'll be working with the new administration on every step of this law, every step of the way, even before day one. And we're so pleased about this new working relationship with our new Vice President-elect Mike Pence.
Just crazy. That's
how. That was House Speaker Paul Ryan talking about Mike Pence addressing the repealing and the replacement of Obamacare, and that is the Republican side of things. Now, here's where things get a little bit sticky, and pardon me from using that word sticky, and I do apologize for all the technical issues that have transpired in this segment. It kind of happens. But they're two very compelling arguments, and I see both. You've got this healthcare system that has made things come a long way, but then you've got the opposing party that wants to repeal it and replace it with something that they want to do. It's fine. Okay, crappy Dale analogy incoming, and I can say the word crappy. I've checked. So it's like a soccer team. It's like repealing and replacing a soccer team. So take it, or football, however you may call it, over where you live, geographically, where you live. It's like that, because here's why. One referee has their pool of players, the current pool, if you will, who have done massive strides from the previous one. But then you've got the other side and the other coach who wants to replace all of them and promise to make it better for everyone else, but wants to make it better for everyone else, apart from the players, of course, because, well, the players don't really have much to do with this. And the objective is still the same. The objective is, in the soccer analogy, the objective is still the same. The objective is for the team to kick goals and to make sure that they are continuing to kick goals and making sure that everyone's having a fun, fluffy ice cream fun time. Dale Campbell, 2017. Soccer is all about having fun, happy, fluffy ice cream time. My radio career. So, but that's the point, though, the purpose is the same, but it's how you get to the purpose is a little bit different. And those two coaches may disagree with each other, definitely do in the case of the Affordable Care Act, definitely do disagree with each other on how that objective, how that is objective is achieved. So, is one better than the other? Of course it is, because in soccer, you look at statistics and you look at, all right, this team's done this over this time, this new team, well, we don't really have much experience with them either. The possibility is there for them to lose games. Okay, this analogy is terrible. It's god-awful, but it kind of fits. Just a little. You must give me that. It fits just a little. So here is the fight for the future of Obamacare kicks off on the Hill. So here is that. Capitol Hill is a buzz with all the what to do about the Affordable Care Act. So I'm reading.
Do Obamacare
President Obama with congressional Democrats about the health care law on Wednesday. I'm ready because there's no one else there. Here we go.
Health care and how we're going to make sure that we fight to protect it for the Americans who have a right to affordable quality health care.
We have a lot of strategies that are rather than lying back and simply voting. So you're going to see a battle line and a real battleground emerge here. We're going to make it very, very difficult for them.
Our president-elect took his case to the American people to repeal and replace Obamacare, and the American people.
Oh no.
Voted decisively for a better future for healthcare in this country, and we are determined to give them that.
It's sort of like the dog that finally cut off with the car. What do the Republicans do now? They have had 7 years for a replacement plan, and they got zip.
Make America sick again? Is that what the Republicans want to do? I certainly hope not. Hopefully we can work together to find a path to address some of the concerns they may have, but not to undermine this pillar of economic and health security for the American people.
Our biggest problem was that once ACA passed, people attributed every problem they had with the healthcare system, whether they were part of ACA or not, to ACA, and our Republican colleagues and their message machine did it. Now they're gonna own it. And all the problems in the healthcare system, and there have been many throughout the years, no one has solved all of them, are going to be on their back.
The architecture of the replacement of Obamacare will come together, as it should, through the legislative process in the weeks and months ahead. But the American people voted for change in November, and the president-elect and I, working with the leaders of the House and Senate, are determined to keep our promise to the American people, and that all begins with repealing and replacing the failed policy of Obamacare.
So that's a good place to wrap it up. So this segment's been all about kind of what the talking heads are saying about the repealment and the replacement of Obamacare. Because from that perspective, from that alone, you kind of get an idea of where the butting heads is happening. Now from here, you definitely from here get a lot of people talking, particularly in news stories, and it's a bit hard to do a show like the Generic Live Show sometimes when you all you're doing is bringing news to the people. A little bit behind the scenes here, I know, a little bit inside baseball today, it's a bit too much, but being open is the best way to go. You think of it like this. If it's hard enough for me to interpret the news and to deliver the news to you, it's going to be hard for the common consumer to take opinionated news seriously in terms of this. So there you go. That's all my point there was. So there you go. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, well, one Australian landmark is having a birthday! Yay! We'll tell you exactly what it is as we continue here on the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us. It's 10:50.
Hold on tight. This is the Generic Live Show.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday with Dale Campbell. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for joining us here on the show. It's nearly time to go, and I get a little bit sentimental when it's about this time because, I don't know, it's... I enjoy doing the show, and, you know, to see it come to an end for a week like this, it's nice, you know? You know what else is nice? The Sydney Harbour Bridge. It's nice to look at. It's a nice piece of architecture. And, you know, it's... here you go. It's good to celebrate good things. Well, the Sydney Harbour Bridge, it's wonderful. I've never seen it actually in person. I've seen it on photos and stuff, but I've never seen it in person. And I hear it's something to behold. So, but if it turns 85 today, and it's something to really admire. Now we're gonna play a little bit of footage from, I believe it's from 1932, I'm not too sure, but it definitely is black and white, so it's footage from the opening of the Sydney Harbour Bridge. So we're going to listen to see what this sounds like. Happy birthday, Sydney Harbour Bridge.
And visitors converged on the structure, conceived by Australian Dr.
Okay, first of all, we need to play this again.
They were grim days, but in Sydney, the outlook was brightened by the completion of the mighty Harbour Bridge, begun in 1923, the largest arch bridge in the world. It was March 19th. More than 200,000 Sydneyites and visitors converged on the structure.
I just like that phrase, converged on the structure.
Conceived by Australian Dr. J. Bradfield and built by Dorman Long of England at a cost of £9 million, almost twice as much as the original estimate. As 11 o'clock approached, the procession of official cars threaded their way up the southern approach, with Air Vice Marshal Sir Philip Woolcott Game, 24th Governor of New South Wales, in attendance. The Governor's opening remarks were followed by those of the fiery, controversial Labour Premier, Jack Lang.
Majesty's message is as follows. I have learnt with great pleasure that the Sydney Harbour Bridge has now been completed, and I desire to congratulate my people of New South Wales and all who have been concerned with the planning and construction of the bridge on the successful conclusion of the enterprise. It is my earnest hope that the bridge may be a means of increasing the prosperity and of contributing to the comfort and welfare, not only of the citizens of Sydney, but of the whole of the people of New South Wales.
Long before the engineers drew the plan, or the labourer turned the sod, the people of Sydney dreamed about, worked for and fought over the bridge which is about to be made available to them.
The time had come for Lang to perform the opening ceremony. The Premier's decision to open the harbour bridge himself brought bitter resentment from a section of the community who had clamoured for a royal performance. Lang replied in his own blunt way, "I will open it myself. It'll be cheaper." A 2-inch wide blue ribbon stretched across the approach. A pair of golden scissors lay waiting on a velvet cushion. Suddenly, an officer galloped forward, brandishing a glittering sword and shouting, "In the name of common decency, I declare this bridge open." He slashed the ribbon. Irish-born Major Francis de Groot had beaten Lang to the punch with perfect split-second timing. He was dragged from his horse by the then-chief of the CIB, Superintendent Bill Mackay. De Groot was a leader of the new guard that claimed 100,000 members, sworn to stamp out the bushfire of Langism.
All right, so this video is amazing, by the way. I just want to put that out there, but we will skip ahead a little bit because we are running out of time. It's the 85th birthday of the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Estimated that more than 300,000 men, women and children walked across the 3,770-foot six-lane roadway that day. A remarkable scene which may never be repeated. Sydney's traffic came to life. And what a busy time those toll collectors had. Hail, rain or shine, back in 32. Sunday, March 20th was a field day for the newspapers. And 24 hours later, reporters and cameramen concentrated on Sydney's Central Police Court. After a weekend confined to the reception house, De Groot, dressed in civvies, was escorted to the courtrooms.
This is just beautiful. That is the show for today. But I just want to point out that is just, wow, 85 years ago. And I just love listening to that. I could listen to that all day, and people just talking differently back then to what they do now. Wow, I'm getting on my soapbox again, first of all. Second of all, that's just a beautiful thing. That's just a beautiful way to talk.
Contestants found themselves whisked into the dock which De Groot had just vacated. Fists flew, and a few contestants found themselves whisked into the dock which De Groot had just vacated. The crowd dispersed, and the brief but colorful life of the new guard was over. A highlight of the early days of 1932.
It's 11 o'clock.
This has been a Geek.io Media Network production. Copyright 2017.